Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, and we want to hear from you while we're here. The toll-free line is 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the phone number 844-322-2742. And the lines are wide open right now to Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You did mention that we are at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention this week, or at least yesterday and today. And we've had a great opportunity to meet with many of our ministry partners, station program directors from all over the country. And it's just a wonderful thing to talk with partners in ministry, those Absolutely. Who are helping us get the good news of Jesus Christ out.
And whose hearts are in alignment with us.
Absolutely.
That. Yeah.
And that just reminds me of all the people who support this broadcast. And meeting with these broadcast partners here just helps me think of them and the support that they give, the prayers that they offer, just the good work that they do to help us get the word out and connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. So if you're a supporter of Basic Gospel, you're listening today, I just want to extend a heartfelt thanksgiving to you.
Yeah.
You are the backbone, the lifesavers of this for this particular ministry. And without you, this broadcast could not happen. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for helping us get the word out and for connecting people to the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. Open lines available at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, Bob, our verse for the day, as we are continuing to share passages about the love of God this particular month, our verse of the day is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I think that is one of the most remarkable statements in the Word of God, the fact that we are dearly loved by God. So many people walk through life not knowing that to be true. Yes, they've heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But they think that applies to everybody else but them.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy to be loved. I've sinned too much. God is too mad, too angry. They would never see themselves as dearly loved by God. But in Christ, that's the truth. God demonstrated his love for you in this, that while you were a sinner, Christ died. When you respond to that by faith, when you respond to that love, and his love draws you to himself.
Yes, indeed.
And as you respond to that love, you get connected to the love of Christ, and then you can grow. Your thinking can be renewed, and you can actually truly walk through this world knowing that you are dearly loved by God. But as somebody that's dearly loved, here's the encouragement. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So the fact that we are dearly loved by God enables us to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It enables us to forgive others just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And it enables us to put on love, to extend love to others that we meet in everyday life. And that love binds all these other characteristics together.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So do you know that you're dearly loved? I hope today will be the day that that will become a reality in your life.
Yeah. And if you struggle with this issue, friends, we want to hear from you. We want to discuss it with you and talk it through. Lines are open right now, though calls are beginning to come in, but that toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with our good friend, Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, good friends, Bob, Richard, and Bob. I wanted to ask you, to what extent does God correct us when we do something wrong. The nature of my question is, on the one hand, it's not too unreasonable to believe that if you do something legitimately wrong, maybe God will call you out on it. But then, being the super perfectionist that I am, I'll take that and I'll go to the extreme. And it's almost like, well, every little thing I do or say could be considered wrong. And I start getting these thoughts, well, you shouldn't have said or done that. And I start trying to defend myself, like trying to find out, like, okay, why did I really do that? And there's that passage in Hebrews that says God remembers our sins no more. So I'm kind of confused, and I haven't really come to fully believe the possible reality that this could actually just be a distraction from Satan. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, Chris, good question.
Yes.
Good. As far as discipline, God does discipline us. I think every time we read the Word of God, our minds are disciplined in the fact that they're renewed. We once believed error, and we have a tendency to go back to that error. And I think the Word of God helps us see that. It corrects our attitudes and shows us a path forward. And that path forward is always faith in Jesus Christ, to believe in Jesus Christ. God's plan for us, the way the Christian life is supposed to work, is by grace through faith. That's the only way that God has set it up. So it's always by grace through faith. I think for us, you know, the big deal with God is love. He summed up the Ten Commandments by the two great commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So love is the summation of that. Well, when we sin, what are we doing? We're missing the mark of love. And that means we've become self-absorbed. We're not thinking about others. Well, that's an attitude that God wants to correct. Not in a condemning way. God does not condemn us. We are in Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a settled issue. So there's never going to be a time that God is mad at us. There's never going to be a time that God's angry. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. God the Father was satisfied on our behalf because of the blood of Jesus. So we don't have to fear punishment. We don't have to fear condemnation. So God lovingly corrects us for our benefit, for our good, and for the sake of others. So, for example, I will sometimes hurt Gina's feelings. Maybe the words that I say, maybe the tone that I say them in, those are very painful for her. It hurts. Those things hurt her deeply. Well, what have I done? Well, I've missed the mark of love at that particular situation. Well, does God punish me for that? No. He just says, hey, I've put my spirit inside of you so that you could love her as I have loved you, and you've hurt her feelings. And so go back to her and correct that, and to say you're sorry, to ask her to forgive you, and then allow God's spirit to strengthen the relationship in that. So do I need to be corrected at that moment? Absolutely. Does God lovingly do so? Yes, he does. Do I willingly receive that? Well, of course I do, because I love Gina, and I don't want to do anything to hurt her feelings. I don't want to do anything to bring pain and suffering to her. And when I do, that hurts me, and I'm very willing to say, Lord Jesus, you know, show me how to trust you in this situation at this point.
Okay, I get that. It's just that I think it's what you're saying is reasonable, and I can see that God might, you know, point out when we mess up, but Satan could also do the same thing.
Well, Satan accuses. The difference is this. Satan accuses, and he forces doubt into your mind. God never accuses. He is not the accuser. All condemnation is gone. I love what Paul said in Romans 8, and he talks about, you know, the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, and the fact that if God is for us, who can be against us? So we have to realize that God is always for us. He's never against us. Satan is always against us. He is never for us. So when Satan draws attention to a sin or something like that, he's doing so to accuse us, to cast doubt. When God shows us some attitudes, and he's really getting down to the heart issues, the fact that we are not trusting the Lord in a particular situation, that we've gone off on our own understanding. What God's interested in is a heart that trusts. So he's gonna dig deep and say, hey, I want to show you something there so that you can learn to trust me in this area of life. It's all part of the renewing of the mind. So, Chris, always recognize that God is for you. He's never against you. Satan is always against you. He's never for you.
Yeah, you actually touched on a really key issue, which is doubt. Like a common thought that I'll have is, oh, well, maybe I did something wrong. I want to know if I did, but I don't know for sure, so let me replay it over and over in my mind to figure it out. What scriptural evidence is there to show that that doesn't come from God? I know about the one passage in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is not the author of disorder but of peace. Like what other scriptural evidence do you have for that?
Well, perfect love casts out all fear. I think that's one of the biggest ones that we doubt. I mean, when we're doubting, we start to experience fear of punishment, fear of retribution, fear of God's wrath. Those are all things that come through doubt. We start to wonder if we're even saved. Well, that's fear. And God never operates with us out of fear. He always loves us, and his love will cast out that fear in a wonderful way.
Yep. Cool. Hey, guys, thank you so much for your answer, Bob, and thank you so much for doing this show every day. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thanks for your call today. I want to remind our listeners about a resource that we have that is free just for the asking. And that is a pamphlet that we've entitled You Are Loved. It's 34 passages out of the New Testament that talk about the love of God. If you want to know about the love of God, I encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the link right on the homepage, and request your copy. We can send you a hard copy of it, or if you like things on your computer, you can just download it and get it instantly. So take advantage of this. It's a free resource from Basic Gospel. We want you to have it. We want to put that into your hands, and we want you more than anything to get connected to the love of Christ and to go through life knowing that you are dearly loved by God.
And while you're there at basicgospel.net, be sure to look around, because we have a lot of resources to assist you in walking in Christ day by day.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Corpus Christi, Texas, and talk with Alonzo, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Alonzo.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you all doing today?
We're doing wonderful. How about you, Alonzo?
Yeah. Okay. My question is, on Jeremiah 31st, I think it says, this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, not like the one that I made when I took you out of Egypt. Now, this new covenant, was it made again with the house of Israel, or was it, it was for everyone, I know, but was it through Israel again?
Well, that's a wonderful question, Alonzo. I think the New Testament answers that in several different passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, for example, Paul talks about the fact that he had been made competent as a minister of the new covenant. So when he went out and ministered to people all around the world of that day, he was ministering the new covenant, this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his shed blood on the cross. So who was Paul ministering to? Well, primarily the Gentile world. It was the Gentiles in Galatia, in Philippi, and in Rome. He had an outreach to the Gentiles, and that's exactly what God set him apart to do, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world. So he was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was known as the apostle to the Jews. So both were taking this new covenant message to those two groups. Also in Ephesians 2, Paul talks about the fact that the two, Jew and Gentile, have become one new man in Christ. So we both share together in these new covenant promises. So this new covenant is applicable to us today. That's why we say time and time again that as children of God, we are new covenant believers. Richard, this is something that you have studied and researched and looked into, and the scripture's clear, isn't it, that this truly is for both Jew and Gentile,
yes,
the Church of Jesus Christ.
And it was even prophesied in the Old Testament, for example, to the prophet Hosea. God told Hosea that there were people who were currently not my people who are going to be called my people, and it's a clear reference to Gentiles. And then Jesus himself told the disciples in Acts 1 to wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you would be my witnesses to the Jews, to the Samaritans, and to Jews in Jerusalem, Jews in Judea, then to the Samaritans, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so he clearly was telling them that this message of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and what he has done was for everyone. And he had described himself, of course, in the Lord's Supper as providing the blood of the new covenant. And so it was originally forecast to Israel, but by extension, first by Hosea and then by Jesus himself, it was given to the whole world.
Yeah, one last verse on this, Alonzo. John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says this, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." So for the Jew, they had to take off the old covenant to put on the new. For the Gentile, we simply put on the new covenant, and that's the clothes that we wear today. We are new covenant believers.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yes, thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. Thank you so much for your call, Alonzo.
Yeah, we'll go to our next call in just a moment. But Bob and Richard, I just want to once again remind our listeners, particularly those of you on the West Coast and Northern California, we're going to be in your area March 7th for a wonderful conference, the Hear It, Believe It, Live It Tour that begins right there in Vacaville at the Valley Church. And it's going to be, again, March 7th, and wonderful support from our radio stations. And we had the opportunity to meet with two of the managers and owners just this week at National Religious Broadcasters, Andy Santamaria of KDIA in San Francisco, and of course this morning Mark Durkin of KFIA in Sacramento. And the attitude of both of these guys is, what can we do to help?
Absolutely.
And so we just absolutely appreciate the partnership that they we have with them in proclaiming the gospel first, and then of course for the support they're giving us for this conference.
Yes, indeed. And it's interesting when we talk to these station managers, they love the space that we fill in their daily programming.
Right.
There are so many Christian ministries, and they're doing wonderful jobs. But one of the things that we hear time and time again from station managers is that they're so proud to air Basic Gospel because it focuses on the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ,
every day,
and how that intersects with daily living.
Yeah.
And we think that is so important. Why? Because most of us live in this area of fear and you know, all of those negative things. We're disenchanted, we're disconnected, we feel isolated, we feel lonely, we feel oppressed, we feel all of those things. That's where we live, and that's where our struggles are, and that's where the gospel message, the most important truths that we know, invade and enter in and help bring light into those areas where we can exchange those for a peace and freedom and joy and all of those things that we can know in Christ Jesus. So our station managers are so pleased to air the program because they know that's what's going to happen in their listeners. And this conference is just a way to deepen that gospel into your life. So come be a part be a part of it. It really does look like it's going to be the place to be March 7th, so come join us.
Absolutely. You'll find, of course, information at basicgospel.net under the events in the menu, the events tab in the menu. Just go to basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with Billy, our operator. You can do that during Central Time office hours at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC, and we would love to see you at Valley Church in Vacaville on March 7th.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk with Mary listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you? How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Okay. Hi, I have a question for you. I have a friend that's homosexual. She's gay or whatever, and I'm not gay, and I grew up as a Catholic, and now I'm started to listen to you guys, and, you know, I'm hearing the message that you guys talk about. You know, she's really reluctant to hear the message because she feels that, like, God not going to love her because she's gay, and she hears that message that it's a sin and all the time, and she doesn't know how to change herself. So I told her I would ask you guys about that, and I'm going to take the answer off the air. I don't really know what to tell her, because I mean, like she uses it as an example, like if someone steals something, they can be forgiven for that sin, you know, they may do that again, but when you're gay, she thinks it's like a lifelong sin, and she doesn't know how to address that. So if you guys could shed some light on that, I really would appreciate it.
Well, Mary, excellent, excellent question.
Yeah.
Read a passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. And this is a very significant passage, I think, for all of us. Because we, you know, in our human minds, we rank the sins. We have some that, you know, get a 10 and some that just get a 1. And there's all sorts of sins in between. And, you know, those 10s are biggies. And we just wonder, can God forgive those? Is there hope for us if we've committed one of those, or if we have a lifestyle in one of those sins? And homosexuality certainly would fit, you know, that category in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
I'm just saying this is human thinking. This isn't what the Bible necessarily lays out. But here's what the Bible does lay out. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And then he goes on to say, Mary, that all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So, Mary, you said your friend was fearful of what God might think of her because of her homosexuality. But this passage says that he's not counting that sin against her. And that's the good news that we can offer to anybody, regardless of where they are, what sin that they may be trapped in. And the, you know, what God is calling us to is to basically allow this good news of reconciliation, the fact that God has counted our sins against us, to draw us to himself, and to draw us to himself empty-handed. See, God doesn't offer a self-improvement program. He doesn't give us a set of rules and regulations to help us change. He wants to give us new birth. He wants to make us new from the inside and let that newness start to affect the outside. I would love, Mary, to send you some resources that I think could be a big help. But the whole idea is that God's love is there. It's been demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ. And he wants to draw your friend unto himself so that he can give her new life. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Let me put you on hold, and we'll get some information and send you some resources. We would like to be involved in this conversation with you and your friend, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
You hang on.
Friends, if Basic Gospel has or is making a difference in your life, we ask you to join us by supporting the work of Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. If someone gave so that you could hear the liberating truth of the gospel. So now please help us keep the good news coming on the air and online. You'll find a support link when you visit our website. That, of course, is basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator to make your contribution to the ministry at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. And thanks for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel. We couldn't do it without you, so it genuinely is a partnership. And thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.